Let's get our local view. Get things rolling on a Tuesday. You can catch his work on the cover of the Register Guard sports section. Follow on Twitter. The handle is at AustinMeekRG. Seems like a lot has happened the past week to talk about. How you doing today, Austin?
Hey, Steve, I'm good, although I'm a little disappointed to hear you guys hating on parades. to me, any event where you can stand there and have candy thrown at you is a win in my book.
It seems like you don't need a parade for that. You could, especially you have a son who's, you know, you're a year away from saying, here, here's a bag of candy, throw it at me. all right, so beyond the neurotic existence I had growing up in New Jersey, let's start with the Super Bowl. So it's been just, I like to think countrywide and worldwide, it's been a chaotic year plus. But we've got first Alabama beat Clemson, then Villanova over North Carolina, the NBA Finals, the World Series, Clemson over Alabama, and now this. So is this kind of the karma god saying, you know what, at least in sports, we're going to have a lot of great stuff and a lot of happy endings?
Well, we have been on a pretty good run in terms of dramatic championship game finishes. And you're right, we as Americans deserve this. We've had to put up with a lot in the last year. So we need our distractions, and we need our championship games to be great. And certainly the Super Bowl lived up to that. I didn't think it was going to, but halftime I was like, man, you know, I'm going to have to check out of this thing early. But I'm glad I didn't, because it turned out to be one of the great comebacks, if not the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Do you get involved in the greatest quarterback, or at this point with Brady, is it just safe to say, look, when it comes to his resume, there's no comparison? You could make a case for a Montana or maybe Elway, but you've got to make one heck of a presentation to convince football people that they rank above Brady. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, Steve, I'm a little younger than you, so you know, I didn't watch, say, Otto Graham in his prime. It's hard for me to, you know, assess all the quarterbacks in history. but of the quarterbacks I've seen in my generation, you know, I think definitely this settles the Brady versus Manning question. Just looking at those two guys in the last two Super Bowls, you know, Manning limps in there and can barely throw the ball and win the ring because of his defense. And Brady, really with not a lot around him, especially on that offense, almost single-handedly leads his team back from 28-3. Clearly, to me, there's no question that it's Brady and then Manning in terms of the great quarterbacks of this era.
All right. Otto Graham, huh? You couldn't at least go Unitas, who, you know, I was kind of young. All right. Now we continue with Austin Meek of the Register Guard, soon to be our former guest. Saturday afternoon here in Eugene, your theme in Sunday's paper was tradition on the go, because it really doesn't exist at Matt Knight Arena. Yet now they got the longest home win streak in America. You know, not Allen Fieldhouse or the Carrier Dome or Paulie. But beyond the threes and the dunks and the just the magnitude of the score, kind of important to focus on how Oregon played defensively, no?
Yeah, absolutely. That was what I was actually most impressed with in that game, because Dana Altman says this all the time, and it's true, that over the course of the season, you're going to have a handful of games where you just cannot hit the broadside of a barn. And Oregon had that game when they lost to Colorado. You're also going to have a handful of games where you just can't miss. And Oregon had that game against Arizona. But the thing, you know, the other parts of the game, you know, what determines the kind of season you have is the other parts of the game beyond just whether the ball goes in the basket or not. The way Oregon played defensively against Arizona, that will win you a lot of games. Arizona had, I think, 27 points with about 12 minutes to play. That was just a really dominant defensive effort by Oregon. If they play defense that way, they absolutely can get to a Final Four. You know, because you know that this team can score. You know that they're talented and skilled. And if they can lock a team down like that defensively, They're pretty tough to stop.
What about what this stretch run carries? I mean, the domination here in town was nice, but only two of the final seven regular season games are here. Everything else is on the road. Work cut out to beat Arizona to the wire to defend the Pac-12 title. But if they're on, and I'm not saying they have to do what they did Saturday. That was crazy. You still like their chances to, you know, as the team to beat maybe in this conference regular season only?
Well, I think Dana Altman is right when he says the advantage is still with Arizona just because of the schedule. When you look at what Arizona's got left, their only road games are the Washington schools and Arizona State. And Oregon's still got to go to the Bay Area and to L.A. Historically, two pretty tough trips for Oregon. To me, I think a lot comes down to what happens Thursday night with UCLA. If Oregon can find a way to win that game, which is clearly the toughest game they got left on their schedule, I'll be ready to proclaim Oregon the favorite if they win that game. Now, if Oregon loses to UCLA, which certainly could happen, I mean, UCLA, everybody knows what they can do offensively on the road. It's going to be tough. If Oregon were to lose that game, I think you got to put it pretty squarely on Arizona as the favorite.
All right, let's move to football. Excuse me, 6 days ago was letter of intent signing day. Willie Taggart up at 4 a.m, letting the world know how excited he was about this class. And, of course, we had the two issues, the strength and conditioning coach, another one got a Dewey, and he's out. So Taggart, I guess, willing to admit it was a rough start, but if he delivers this kind of talent and wins, because in essence, nothing really tragic or horrifying happened, that we'll look past on this and say, rough start, but he has overcome.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. You know, for as bad as the honeymoon has been for Willie Taggart, and it has not been good, the recruiting class, what he does on signing day, is going to have a much bigger impact on his success or failure going forward as the Oregon football coach. If he delivers good players and wins on the field, a year from now, people aren't going to remember the stuff that happened in his first 6 weeks on the job, assuming that they clean that stuff up and, you know, the off-field stuff doesn't continue to happen. The way I put it in the column is, you know, a bad honeymoon doesn't have to ruin the marriage. It's a very small part of it in the grand scheme of things. And the success or failure of Willie Taggart is going to come down to, you know, what he does from here on out. How does he recruit? How does he put together a team? And I think the early returns are pretty positive in that way. You know, to come in late, you're always putting together that first recruiting class on the fly. To have a class that ranked higher than last year's, in the top 20 in the nation, in the top 3 or 4 of the Pac-12, that's pretty encouraging for Willie Taggart.
Yeah, another thing you touched on, and without naming it, you know, alluding to the reaction to Andrew Greif's reporting, which I thought was actually spot-on journalism. It wasn't an op-ed. It was kind of a factual account. And then, you know, Coach Taggart got a little testy when that subject surfaced. So from what he said in the immediate aftermath of the three players that went to the hospital to kind of how he responded to how these issues were dealt with out recruiting, some inconsistencies there?
Yeah, I didn't love the answer from Willie when I asked what he was telling recruits and their parents about the off-field stuff. Because he did really put the focus squarely on the way the story was reported. And he said flat out, you know, they told recruits that the story was bogus. And I don't think the facts really support that. Now, if you want to quibble with, you know, some of the parts of it that are a little more subjective, there's probably room to do that. But the basic facts of it were pretty clearly reported that, you know, these three guys ended up in the hospital, and that was the story. And I felt like Willie was shifting the accountability a little bit. And, you know, for a guy who talks about not making excuses, it does give me pause if he really was going in living rooms and telling recruits and parents who were concerned about that, you know, it was all just a bogus story that got blown out of proportion, because it obviously wasn't. The facts of it were pretty clear.
Final thought here. I know a lot of people have mentioned it, but it kind of popped to when, you know, like I said, he was up early in the morning, and from almost the minute he got this job, you knew his Twitter handle, at Coach Taggart. He seems to really have a willingness to kind of understand where this generation kind of hangs out. And what did you think about his, you know, being so willing to kind of put that out there, engage in social media and share that information, you know, kind of like a millennial?
Yeah, it's what you have to do in this day and age. And I think a lot of us have a love-hate relationship with social media. I certainly do. I know Mark Helfrich did. He was definitely not the coach who was going to be out front on social media tweeting a lot of things, which I understand. You know, I in some ways I admire his approach to it in terms of the principle of it, but I think the reality of it is at this level of football in this day and age, you can't be successful as a recruiter unless you are involved in that space. And I think Willie Taggart has done a lot in the short time he's been here to get Oregon up to speed in that area. And I think we're seeing the results of that. You know, recruits who may not have had Oregon on the radar or may have sort of had Oregon on the back burner, I think the way Willie Taggart's kind of brought some energy into the approach has opened some eyes and brought some players into the fold that maybe weren't looking at Oregon in that way before.
All right, we'll see how this all plays out. It's February, and we've got like years to analyze this, so let's not. I don't think we're going to settle this right here, right now. But good stuff as always. Always appreciate you getting us kicked off on a Tuesday. Again, registerguard.com, at Austin Meek RG on Twitter. Austin, appreciate it. Have a good one.
Okay, you too, Steve. See you.
Bye.